Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Yinka. Thank you, Sister Kezaya, and everybody on the line. Thank you, Willing Women. Thank you, SLPN. Thank you for all of you that have just always, is what always repeating the encouragement, inspiration, that, you know, personally, I am so privileged and honored to see people on the line at this time of the day, in spite of all the busy and extreme responsibilities you have, but still consider this time a priority on your schedule. So we thank God, and we thank God for this line that is open 24/7 for any time anybody wants to press into the things of God and all our ASLPN people. So thank you so much. We are becoming a family, and God is preparing us for what he has for our time and in our day. We are in a prophetic window. Always, every day is a prophetic window, but there are certain seasons that God has set aside as his own covenant windows of time. Like we discussed about Passover and Resurrection Sunday, we're in the season of Pentecost, and in the seventh month, we're going to be in the season of the trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. These are windows of time, and we're definitely seeing so much signs in the world telling us that something serious is really happening. I was going to be sharing a little bit in that direction tonight, but I really still feel the weight of continuing with what the Lord is saying and sharing with us in the area of manifestation, manifesting the will of God, manifesting the purpose of God, manifesting the plans of God. You know, when our will is exchanged for his will, what happens? So I just want to continue in that. Hopefully we can get to the point where we begin to shift in other things next week. But let's see how far we can go today, because this is so crucial that we understand the will of God is the only way our society, our lives, the purposes of heaven can be really manifested on earth. So one of the reasons I want to, the direction I feel to share tonight in continuation of last week is I really feel it's important to encourage ourselves in the Lord, especially people that have been praying for years, praying day and night, seeking the face of the Lord, praying. Tonight, I just want to, I believe that this word will encourage you to know that God has heard your cries, heard your prayers, but this will encourage you to see how, you know, why sometimes it looks like the things of God tarry for a period of time, you know, the waiting process, but God definitely hears the cry of his people. So I pray you'll be encouraged and know that your prayers are not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. God just has principles that we cannot shortcut. And these principles, without understanding them very well, many people have been frustrated in the area of waiting, like myself, until God started giving me better understanding. Many people have given up in prayer, in waiting, because of not understanding these principles and have given up on prayer. And that's why Jesus, in Luke 18, gave this very amazing example we all know. Said men ought always to pray and not to faint, meaning not to give up, because a lot of people give up without understanding. So he gave the parables that will help us understand the principles of breakthrough in prayer. So talking about manifesting God's will, that's in this area, and encouraging ourselves at the process, the principles that the processes it takes to see the things we're praying for, sometimes personally, sometimes family, sometimes just whatever it is, however we applies, for the city, for the nation, for prophetic promises of God to be manifested. It's a principle. And in understanding them, it helps us to continue to wait patiently, persistently in the area of prayer. So, but just going back, beginning from last week, we talked about Romans chapter 12. Basically that, you know, God, he says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So we looked at last week, among all the things, that there are levels, there are different levels of the manifestation of the will of God. For God's will to be done on earth as it is in earth as it is in heaven, that means for his will to be manifested, there are three different levels. The Bible cannot be broken, specified here. There's the good will of God, there's the acceptable will of God, and there's the perfect will of God, and there are processes to that. And we discussed last week, not in details, but we mentioned that in the parable of the sower, you can see there at the end, a good soil. When you get to the place of a good soil, there are three levels of fruit bearing, which is parallel to the different levels of the will of God. It talks about a 30-fold manifestation of fruit, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So this kind of parallels the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So now, this whole thing we are learning from the Spirit of the Lord is all the same principles, the same question the disciples asked. They said, teach us how to pray. Because they see that Jesus gets result. He gets answers to prayer. And they said, teach us how to pray. So he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That's a key. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In other words, your will be manifested on earth. We know what your will is in heaven, but we want it to be a reality on earth. So that's when he was teaching that emphasis we're looking at this season is the will of God. And we looked at how the kingdom of God is enforced on earth through the will of God. And we see how God has given man a free will. And because we have free will, we can be anointed, we can be gifted, we can have so many things. But for God's, the desires of God to be manifested, that gift and the influence of heaven has to manifest it through a will that has surrendered to the will of God. And our will is tied to ourselves, it's tied to our expectation, it's tied to our own agenda. So that means if our agenda does not die for, we cannot have God's agenda. If our ways doesn't surrender to it, we can have God's way. So that's, and knowing that we have free will, that means that's the cross we carry. So I will encourage you, Sister Keziah did an excellent job writing, and if you read the newsletters for last week and this week, it's something you can really forward to people because you really, really give a clear revelation of these things in a very good way. Now, as we're looking at this, I want to also encourage us that just hearing the word of God is not, we need to meditate on it. We need to say faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So it's something we need to meditate. Moses, you know, the Lord told Joshua, for you to be successful, for you to make it, for you to possess these promises, you have to meditate on it. For you to make it to the promised land, to obtain these things, you have to meditate. You have to digest. You have to let this thing be seeded, be soaked in your soul, in your mind, in your heart, and your spirit. And it takes meditation and then praying these things, covenanting with God. And that's how these things are able to cause us to be fruitful hearers in the things that God is saying. So we looked again last week how the will of God is manifested on earth when our will dies. So, and then we looked again briefly last time, the principle Jesus gave in John chapter 12. He says, unless a corn of wheat goes into the ground and die, it cannot manifest fruit. It cannot manifest fruit. And he lived out that example on the cross, which is the spiritual principle. The physical principle is that when you put a corn, that is itself, this is self, one thing, that is me, that's Jesus, that's us, he just wants corn of wheat. If we keep it on our shelf, it will be always one seed of corn. But Jesus says, if we give it away, if we lay down our life, if we surrender our will, he says it will yield fruit, to manifest fruit. And we see that that fruit is the kingdom of God, the will of God. So, and it will manifest fruit in 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So we see the life of Jesus, that he defeated principalities, Satan, he defeated the powers of hell by just laying down his will, by surrendering to his will, to the will of God, obeying God. Even though he was righteous, he submitted to death. Even though he was righteous, he submitted to sin. Even though he was righteous, he submitted to abuse and all kinds of things, the consequences of sin. He submitted just in obedience. And out of obedience, he overthrew Satan. He destroyed death. He conquered sickness. He conquered disease. He gave us the privilege to be called the children of God. All because of the obedience that leads to the crucifixion of our will. So we see that principle still works. When I share these things with you, God also holds us accountable to it at different levels. You know, after, like, what we're learning together, God is also teaching me. We're learning together. You know, these few weeks, God gave me opportunity to practice these things, to live it out. And it's amazing the privileges we have to live it out. And God reminds you, this is what I was teaching you. Will you now obey? Will you surrender to it? Will you release it? So God gave me opportunity to surrender to things, that to just lay down things, to give up certain things. And what a revelation, what a blessing, what a peace that brought. So unless a corn of wheat goes into the ground and die, it cannot reproduce, it cannot manifest kingdom fruit. So let me again go through the principles of how the processes that this takes, and why we have to encourage one another, and why your prayers day and night, 24/7, the prayers you pray are being answered. My brothers and sisters, your labor in prayer is leading us to a place that we will see a great manifestation of God's will in America. Regardless of what we see on the surface, the prayers of the saints will manifest the will of God. Let me just share a few of how these processes work. First of all, we know that when a corn of wheat goes into the ground, in the natural, you don't see the fruit overnight. That corn of wheat goes through a process. You know, Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, first of all, you sleep night and day, you don't even know what's happening to that thing. And then later, he says he brings the blade, the corn brings the blade, then the ear in the corn, and the ripe corn. Finally, it becomes ripe fruit. So there's a process you don't see, but finally, at a particular season, you see the fruit. So when you use the physical, it's easy to see this process in the life of a corn of wheat. But it's not very easy to see it in the life of a believer when you're praying for years or praying for months or praying for weeks for certain things and you don't see it. You don't really know what God is doing. But eventually there's a breakthrough. But sometimes we abort these breakthroughs because of lack of knowledge and understanding. So that's why first we use the physical principle of a corn of wheat. Now let's look at a few scriptures that relate to this principle. And then we use a few examples to encourage us in the area of prayer. Now, let me read from the book of John, chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's God, who God is. "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." Now, verse 9. "That bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He," that's Jesus, "was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Now, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power," the influence of the kingdom of God, "power to become the sons of God." To become the sons of God, which is the will of God, "even to them that believed on his name, which were born," they were born "not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God." So the things of God manifest the will of God. God's word is one with his will. God's word is one with his promise. "In the beginning was that word, and the word was with God." So for the will of God to be manifested, the will of man must die. So here it says that those who receive power to be manifested as the sons of God, which is the will of God, which is the desire of God, they were people that were not just born of flesh and blood. They were not born of the will of man or the will of the flesh, but of God. So we see here again the revelation of the war between the will of man and the will of God. The exchange is what causes the purposes of God to be manifested on earth. How does that influence our personal life? How does that look like over cities and nations? So let's look at the principle again in the book of Isaiah 64, verse 4. Isaiah 64, verse 4 says, "Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who wait upon him." So there are things that the human eyes, people born of the will of man, born of the will of the flesh, born of flesh and blood, says their eyes cannot see, their ears cannot hear, neither can it even enter their heart, the things that God has prepared. What are the things God has prepared in heaven? Are the will of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God. He says they cannot see, they cannot receive it, they cannot walk in it. But he says it's available to those who wait. That very word "wait" is the same word Jesus in the New Testament used when he told the disciples that they should go to the upper room about this season to go and wait for the promise of the Father. It's the same word, "go to Jerusalem and wait." Another translation says "tarry." It's an active word of waiting. But in that waiting, there's an exchange that takes place. Another good example of this word "wait" that shows you it's an active waiting. Something is happening in that waiting process. A surrendering to God's will and a dying to our will is taking place in that process. It's also seen in the book of Isaiah 40, verse 31, when it says, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They walk and not faint." That word again, "they will renew their strength," is the word in the Hebrew for exchange. There's an exchange that takes place. from weakness to strength, to the strength of God. And then they will mount up an ego that waits, loses his old and puts on new. You know, it's like a new wine, and then mounts up with wing with new strength. There's an exchange that takes place. Something happens to you while you're waiting, and it's usually losing your will, losing self, and then something automatically takes place. There's an exchange. You don't just lose, you gain. There's a restoration, or God's will is being replaced for your will. So that's the same example with a corn of wheat. It dies when you put it in the ground. But but as it dies, it begins to, transformation takes place. Something begins to come out of it that produces something new, you know, manifest the will of God. So now, in the area of harvest, whenever we die to our will, that is self-centered will, our will, in waiting for the things of God. God made it clear in the physical, like a corn, it produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. Means that there's a multiplication factor that takes place. So every time we wait on the things of God, whether we see it or we don't see it, actually Psalms 126 put it this way in the area of prayer. It says, those that sow in tears, they also will reap in joy. He that goes about carrying precious seeds will likewise come back with basket full of fruit. In other words, when we wait upon God in prayer, when we wait on God in seeking the will of God, praying the will of God, we are dying to our will. But because of that death taking place in our will and our prayers, it says we are releasing the kingdom of God to manifest fruit into folds of 60, 100, and 30, 60, and 100 fold. And that is the area of salvation. People getting saved, things happening. You know, there's room for God to bring forth fruit into the kingdom. Now, let's go a little bit further in understanding how this principle works. But before we go further, let me read a scripture again that has to do with this in the area of prayer. And this is in the book of John, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, it says, I'll just read verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, but let it be according to his will, he heareth us. Anything, as long as it's the will of God, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we've desired of him. You see, so the word of God cannot lie. It's the word of God. God is one with his word. So this word here is true with every word that has proceeded from the mouth of God. So if John is saying there's a confidence we must have when we pray, unshakable confidence, is when we know that whatever we are asking in prayer is the will of God, is the word of God, is in the scriptures, is in the Bible, is the will of God, is the promise of God. He says we should settle it that once we ask whatever is the will of God, we are in agreement with God to manifest that thing on earth. It's something that God is already willed in heaven. And it says when we agree with God, with what God is already willed in heaven, we will become vessels to see that thing manifest on earth. We must have that confidence it's going to happen. But here is the process. So when they asked Jesus, teach us to pray, this is what he said. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when he talked about the will, and we see it in this book of John, 1 John 5, that once we pray in the will of God, we'll have what we ask. Jesus, understanding the principle and the process, gave two examples in the whole New Testament in the area of the revelation of the process that reveals how the will of God is connected to the manifestation of our expectations. And these two key principles, one was in that Luke 11, where after he finished reciting the model prayer, he says, let me give you an example of what I mean or how you get results. He says, if you have a friend that comes to you at midnight and he is hungry, has nothing, and you have nothing to offer him, and then you now go to where there's bread, and he says, it goes to where there's a bread, and he started knocking, and he's knocking. And the person that has the bread responds from the inside and says, I'm asleep, my children is in bed, I cannot come and give you bread. I cannot come. But he keeps knocking, and he keeps knocking, and he keeps knocking. Even when he said, I cannot, but he keeps knocking. He says eventually that person will open the door and give him all the bread that he needs. But he did not give him the bread because they are friends. He didn't give him the bread, but he said he gave him because of his persistence, because of his importunity, because of his perseverance. What does that mean? What does perseverance, what does persistent, what does waiting? It's a waiting process. It's waiting. What is it? He's waiting not because of his own will, but he's now losing his will. He's losing what he would have chosen to do to gain something that is somebody else's will. He's losing his own will to get something for somebody else that is going to die. It's not something that will benefit him, but he knows that somebody is going to die, and that person must have that bread. So he's there knocking, asking for the bread. So God is saying, see, that man is asking for bread for somebody else. But because he stayed upon it, asking, he said that other person on the inside eventually opened the door because of his waiting. So again, where this is was made more clear about the transition that takes place in our heart, in our will, was Luke 18, the widow woman. Jesus gave a parable. We should never fail to keep praying. We should never give up in praying. And he gave an example to this wise. He says there is a certain widow who keep going to a judge, a wicked judge, a heartless judge, asking the judge for vindication, for vengeance, to avenge her. He says she keep going. The Bible didn't say how long, but the woman said, keep going and keep going and keep going until the judge says, this woman will wear me out, so let me give her what she asked for. And eventually he gave. And Jesus said, if a wicked judge's heart can be changed to respond to the need of a widow, how much more your heavenly Father? Will he not give you speedily what you ask for, even though he waits a little bit? He says, howbeit if the Son of God comes, will he find faith? That word faith there is connected to the patience in waiting. It's connected to what the woman did, the persistence, the perseverance, the waiting. What happens in that waiting? Exactly what Isaiah 40 says. Those that wait upon the Lord, there's an exchange that takes place. They die. They lose their will. They gain the will of God. Exactly what Psalm 64 verse 4 says. The things God has prepared, those who wait, they will receive it. That word, same wait, is the same word Jesus used. Go to the upper room and wait for the promise. It's a waiting process that causes you to lose your will, to lose your ways, to lose your mindset, so that you can receive the promise, the things that are on God's heart that can only come when our will is being surrendered to the will of God. Whether it's personal, whether it's corporate, whether it's national, whether it's... Now, how does that look like in the physical realm? You see, if we look at this, it's still difficult to comprehend. So let's look at some examples, one or two examples that God used to show how this works in the flesh. Because we give example with Jesus and stuff. Here is a good example how it works in the flesh. The power of waiting on God's will in prayer. Now, it does not always mean that, it just depends on whatever you're asking, whatever God's timing is, whatever the season is, it varies. But the principle does not change. Here is another example in the natural that this is a principle we can never bypass in seeing the manifestation of the expectations we have as long as it's the will of God we're praying for. It's the life of Abraham. God has something on his heart. It's the will of God. He revealed it to Abraham. And he wanted Abraham to partner with him in prayer for this thing to be manifested. And he told Abraham he's going to have his seed and he's going to have nations born through him. So God's will has been given to Abraham. He knows what the will of God is. So Abraham started praying into this thing, started expecting it, started living for it. But all of a sudden, he waits a year, he waits 2 years. He realized that, wait a minute. This thing, God, I know that's the will of God. I know that's what God wants, but it's not happening. So all of a sudden, he started saying, in prayer, his will started fighting the will of God. How does that work? He could not wait through to die completely to his will. So here is how our will fights the process of waiting until God's will happen. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, if it's God's will and you partner with it, you agree with God, forget it, it's going to happen. Except this thing happen. Except we don't wait long enough and our will overthrows it. Here is how it happened. Abraham started praying. He was praying to God. And here God, he prayed to God. He said, God, you know what? I believe that my servant is the one that is the promise. He started praying. I'm just paraphrasing. He said, why not let my servant be? You know, this is my bond servant. This is Abraham's bond servant. This is a servant that has given up his will to Abraham. Abraham has not chosen him as almost his own son. So he says, let my servant be the heir. You know, it was a prayer. You know, remember Jesus wrestled with God at Gethsemane. God, why is there no other way? Must it be this way? You know, should I drink this cup? And God finally, after that war, Jesus says, I give up my will. Let your will be done. So Abraham, we all do this, but we don't realize it. Abraham was fighting. Oh, let my servant be, you know, let my servant be, you know. And finally, when God saw Abraham's determination, God took him aside and showed him the stars, showed him everything, and said, Abraham, listen, your seed, you're going to have a seed. It will be like the sound of the sea, to be like the stars. God again reassured Abraham, opened his eyes, and he was pacified. He said, okay, God will do this. He continued. He waited a little bit again. He's like, oh my God, I think this thing is not happening. You know, so in losing, you know, this war of our will, because God is already promised, God is already spoken, this is a reality, he knows it, he's received it, but our will was fighting. But his will is not completely dead, so God's will is not yet to be manifested. So as Abraham was waiting, all of a sudden, Sarah realized that, wait a minute, her womb is dying, and they are getting old, and nothing is happening. So they looked again in the physical, and they said, we're getting old. God said it, God promised it, but it's not happening. So maybe we need to come up with a strategy. Again, their will started giving them a strategy of man. That's what the Bible says, that those who received the manifestation of the sons of God in the book of John said they did not receive it by the will of the flesh or the will of man, but by the will of God. Those that manifested sonship. So Abraham now started wrestling, and Sarah started wrestling. And so they came up with a strategy of the will of man. Because flesh and blood is still strong. I mean, you say, oh God, I've waited so long. But if you want to see the will of God, God knows that it has to come in his own season. That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, he says, be not weary in well-doing. Because in God's in due season, that word due is God's appointed season, you will see what you're waiting for. You will bear the fruit. You will reap the harvest. And my brothers and sisters, it's so true. I am seeing it. It's so true. Unless that vision and that prayer is not connected to God's will. It must happen, unless it's not the will of God. So here Abraham was wrestling. I mean, if you are an intercessor, you saw a vision, you saw a dream, or you're praying for a family member, or you're praying for somebody, you're praying, and God, you saw this, God promised you, will you not want to give up? Will you not just find another way? Oh, we do it all the time. I do it. But this is a learning process. This is how transformation. That's why Jesus says, gave those two illustrations. The waiting, the perseverance, the waiting, and the waiting, and the exchange that takes place that we don't see. And it is simply our will dying through the process. And once God knows when that is accomplished, whatever it is, no matter what it is, that miracle will happen. So, strange enough, Abraham and Sarah came up with the wisdom of human will. The wisdom of human will. What was the wisdom? Sarah said, my womb is dying. If you look in the natural, it's very clear that it's not going to be me. So I rule myself out. Abraham, you can still have a child. Why? You still have strength. So let's use my bond servant. Let's use my handmaiden. So let's produce it. So that's the strategy of the will of man. And that strategy is exactly how a lot of our churches today are run. A lot of ministries are run. And even all of us are learning through it. We're dying. We're learning every day. But that's where the will of man cannot conquer the strategies of Satan in our generation. And the will of man will always produce something that looks like what God wants. And that's how Ishmael was born. Because the will of Abraham and Sarah has not completely died. They were in their last minute of struggle. They came up with a wisdom that was the will of man. And Ishmael was born. And after Ishmael was born, here is again, Abraham was praying, encountered God. And to his shock, he says, Abraham, it's not Ishmael. Abraham said, no, why should Ishmael not? Let Ishmael be. And he said, no, he's going to come through Sarah. He said, what? Through Sarah? Abraham laughed. Laughed. Why? Because he says, Sarah's womb is dead. My brothers and sisters, the will of man has come to a dead end. That's Sarah. Abraham has seen, that's their strength has come to an end. That's their ability, their will. Just like Moses, the will of Moses came to an end. And God says, now my will can happen in Egypt. So my brothers and sisters, you can never walk in the will of God unless you walk by faith. Abraham and Sarah looked in the natural and they could not understand that they were right now, when Sarah's womb was dead, they were right now at the center of the will of God. But because they looked in the flesh, they saw it as being out of the will of God. But now God said, Abraham, now you are now in my perfect will. Not acceptable, not good. You are now in my perfect will because your strength and your will is gone. Sarah, so now you're ready for the promise. And that year Isaac was born, the will of God manifested. So because this principle is so hidden to the human flesh, to the reality of the cross that is not being taught well in our generation, when people are waiting on God, other people tend to look at them and laugh. Say, you're wasting your time, you're believing. And after they mock you so much, David in Psalm 73 says, while he was waiting on God and doing and seeking the will of God and waiting on the promise of God, he looked at other people. Things were going great. He said he almost backslid when he saw even the wicked flourishing in their own will. It was when he went back to the sanctuary, God opened his eyes and he saw that the things of the will of men don't last long. They rise today, they disappear tomorrow. And David realized the only thing that stays permanent, the only thing when everything shakes, and the only thing that not only stands firm on earth, but lives forever, is the will of God. No matter how long you wait for it, if you manifest it, you not only reap hundredfold in this world, nothing can take it, you reap eternal life. So the price we pay, waiting in prayer, waiting in fasting, seeking, the moment you are able to obtain the will of God's promises, You've not only manifested something that is permanent, you manifested something that Satan cannot handle. You manifested something God can use to subdue the works of darkness. So in every generation, the strategy of the enemy is to cause people not to wait, not to tarry, not to wait, because he knows in waiting we die. So he will fight, like you see Abraham's example, let my servant be, let Ishmael be. The two things Abraham is praying for it to be the will of God are things that definitely are born of the flesh and the will of man. And God says, the will of flesh and the will of man cannot manifest the will of God. So my brothers and sisters, we must have confidence that the God we serve does not make mistakes. And he has every power to change anything. There's nothing, he says, he, his hands are not shutting that he cannot save. He says that there is nothing too difficult. He's the creator, he's the maker. The only battle God has in his hands is not even the devil, because Jesus has defeated the devil. It's our free will, our ability to surrender to his will and allow the kingdom of God's will to manifest through us. But the only way God can do that is for our will to die. And it's a process of living a surrendered life. And it's a process when you start surrendering, you cannot walk by sight. Because if you walk by sight like Abraham and Sarah, if you walk by sight, you will be walking in the will of God, but you think you're out of the will of God. But if you walk by faith, that's when people are thinking you're out of God's will, that's when God is saying, well done, my son. You are going exactly the direction of the cross. Peter looked at the will of God with Jesus when Jesus says, I'm going to the cross, that's the will of God. It is the death, that's the direction I have to go. Peter looked at that direction through the eyes of the will of men, through the eyes of the flesh. He said, you will never go that way. Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he knew that was a satanic thought coming out of Peter. Anything that is the will of man or is the will of flesh is something that is already defeated. Everything that came from the original Adamic world is already been polluted by sin and defeated. So anything that comes through that will cannot fulfill the will of God. That's how deep this is, but that's how simple the gospel is. And the cross daily, what it means, carry cross daily, is every time we obey God, we submit to his will, it crucifies our will, it crucifies our flesh, and that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you ever obey the will of God, wait on God, what you see physically will make you want to give up. Because what you see physically when you're obeying God will always look like things are not working, things are dying, but in the inside, God is so excited because the cross is the only way to crucify the flesh and the glory is right behind the cross, the resurrection power. So that's why we're struggling as believers. That's why we're struggling in our generation. The church today is full of a lot of shows, a lot of all kinds of humanistic approach, all kinds of styles and ways that does not crucify the flesh. And so until God finds a people who consistently and persistently seek after the will of God, and then all of a sudden, bam, something begins to happen. They will say, why is this suddenly? No, it's not suddenly, my brothers and sisters. It's because for years you've been praying. 24 hours you have prayer going. You're fasting. You're seeking God. But you look back, nobody sees result. You look back, it looks like nothing is happening. And that's why many intercessors, people give up, because of the lack of this revelation and understanding that you are so pleasing to God. Because in the spirit, God sees people that are dying to their will. Because once God is satisfied with you being crucified, if you are giving up at some point, God will give you the goodwill. Sometimes he will look at where you are. He will let you walk in the acceptable will. At least it's his will. Sometimes the perfect will. But it's hardly many people get to the perfect will. Because dying to self and waiting on God is the most foolish and the most confusing thing. If you look at it in the physical, that it looks like God is helpless, God is not hearing, and God is not answering prayers. So I just want to encourage you tonight, my brothers and sisters, if you've been praying the will of God for America, if you've been praying the will of God for your children and your family, settle it. God says, have the confidence you've been answered. All God is asking for you now is persevere, wait, because the waiting you've been doing has been revealed to you today. God has been killing your will, killing your flesh. Why? So that which you've been asking will come to you in hundredfold, will come to you in multiple blessings. I can share testimonies with you how I'm seeing things like that at a level that I know will escalate. It is so true. And finally, how this works. A very good example that God has used to inspire and encourage me for years is the life of a man called Zechariah. Zechariah, the reason the Bible says in the book of Luke, the Bible specifically put it there for a reason. It says Zechariah and Elizabeth are righteous people and they are blameless. Why? Because people will look at them in the flesh and say, these people must have a problem because they are barren. Now, he's praying. And he's in charge of incense. He's an intercessor, the priest in charge of incense. Meaning in our day, he is a prayer warrior. He's a man of prayer. That's his place. But for years, his wife is barren. Only God looked at them and said, these are righteous people. They are pleasing. Their incense, their lifestyle is so pleasing to me. But in the flesh, if you look in the flesh, you say, no, these people must have sin in their life. They must have a problem. Because barrenness is attached to a problem that God has withholding something from you. And it's in prayer. So he is praying all this prayer. But because Zechariah didn't have this understanding I'm sharing with you, because every generation, you see, there's a struggle with this process. You know, all through, you can name every great man of God, struggle with the process. Zechariah did not have this understanding. So in his heart, Zechariah at some point was very frustrated. He's giving up, but he was a faithful man. He just stayed faithful because he feared God. He kept praying, he kept serving God, but in his heart, he was discouraged. He's giving up because his wife is still barren. The reason you know that is an angel came at the time of birthing. At this time, Zechariah has given up, his wife has given up, but now they've died to their will. They didn't know that. God did not want to give Zechariah and Elizabeth the will of the flesh. What is the will of the flesh? They could have had 5 children, they could have 20 kids that are all born of the flesh. They are all born of the will of men. They can do whatever they want. But instead, when Zechariah and Elizabeth's womb died, Zechariah died to his own expectation of his own will. God gave them God's will, because God prophesied in Isaiah 40 and in so many scriptures that there will be one who will come to prepare the way for Jesus. So this is something that is already on God's heart. And God has to bring it through a dead will on the earth. God has to bring it through somebody, but it has to come through a man that has died to their own will. But Zechariah didn't understand. So when they didn't have children, they gave up, they died. He was frustrated. So when the angel came and said, Zechariah, what you've been praying for has come. This is it. Zechariah was angry. How do I know? The angel, you know, that's why it was dumb, to show you that Zechariah was frustrated. But what did Zechariah have? Zechariah did not just have a normal man, a normal human being. He had the very prophetic promise of God for a generation born through him. A forerunner that Jesus said, no man born of a woman is greater than John the Baptist. It was God's heart. It was the will of God that manifested through the loins of Zechariah. And it was John the Baptist. So my brothers and sisters, go through the Bible and see every man who paid the price of waiting, no matter how long, for a vision or a dream, or waiting for prayers in season that never reap a supernatural results to what they waited for. So Father, I thank you tonight. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people who have covenanted with you And I've been paying a great price. They become a living sacrifice on this altar of prayer. Some have been standing for marriages. Some have been standing for their children. Some have been standing for to be married. Some have been standing for different things. And it looks like there's a delay. But Father, thank you, because whatever is your will, whatever is your promise, cannot come when our self and our will is still in position. Thank you that it is your good pleasure to bring us to the place where we don't reap our own will. Like Abraham wanted Ishmael. Abraham wanted his servant. You show us so much mercy. And many times when we are praying and we are asking you to give us these things, you don't give it to us when we think we have. But you endure our ignorance because you know our heart until you give us that which is on your heart. And your will is always perfect. And it's always what will bring, reveal you to a generation and bring glory to your name. So, Father, thank you that your word has never changed and you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You cannot bring glory to flesh and you cannot rule over men's will. But your will can only be done on earth when you find men and women who give up their will so that your will can be established. Thank you that it's done through waiting in prayer. Thank you that it's done through seeking you in fasting. Thank you that it's done through serving somebody with a cup of cold water. Thank you that it's done through sometimes just giving up an argument and righteousness for other people to feel right. Thank you that it's done every time we surrender to make peace. That is done every time we esteem others in a better position. Every time we serve and we honor. Thank you that is done when we love and when we share everything that you promised us. When we wait upon you in prayer, in our life, in all, it's not in vain. Thank you that is a promise. You said, we will see our harvest. And you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Our labor of love is never in vain. So, Father, thank you that the prayers on this altar, the prayers of your people, Father, in response to the need of this nation, has been answered. In response to their personal need, has been answered. Father, I pray that in this window of time, that they will begin to see manifestations, that we'll all begin to see manifestations of that we've been waiting for a long time. Thank you that America will see a harvest and the nations of the earth will see a harvest. You have spoken it, it's in your word, and we know it will surely come to pass because we have believed you through prayer and we have this confidence that you will do it for your glory. Thank you for everyone on this line. Father, we just continue to trust you and you help us. Keep giving us understanding that we will not be faint, we will not grow weary, and that we trust you, and you're faithful to answer everything we ask according to your will. Bless my brothers and sisters tonight, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.